Since the year 2000, the second Sunday of Easter is also celebrated as Divine Mercy Sunday, and it was something that Pope John Paul II instituted. At the canonization of Sister Faustina, John Paul II declared that the Sunday would always be celebrated also as Divine Mercy Sunday. So I want to talk about mercy and divine mercy and the implications of understanding the mercy of God and experiencing it also. Folks, it's not uncommon for me that somebody will step into the confessional once in a way, and they are so full of sorrow for their sin. And sometimes the guilt is just so stark, so deep, that somehow they convince themselves that, you know, how could God forgive somebody like me? It's not because they believe that God is not all merciful, that God's mercy is limitless. It's not because they don't believe that. But their burden of sin is just sometimes too dark. So I enter into a conversation with people like this in the confessional often, and I'm going to say to you what I've often said to people who really struggle with their sin. I say to them, listen, no matter how serious your sin, it cannot beat God's love for you. I said, if you take the sins of this entire day, all the sins you've committed today, if you put it together, you can't beat God's love. And if you took all the sins of your life from the day you realized the difference between right and wrong, all the way up till today, you put all your sins together of your lifetime, how many sins would that be? You still can't beat God's love and mercy. And then I say to them, you put the sins of all the people who are alive today, 6 billion people, and you put it together, how many sins would that be? You still can't beat God's love and mercy. And if you put the sins of the entire human race, from the beginning of creation to the end of the world, which we don't even know when it is, you put it all together, how many sins would that be? And you still can't beat God's love and mercy. When I say to them that if you think that your sins are too much for God, then the sacrament of reconciliation is not for you. You may leave. And they know by then that our sins, are nothing compared to the immense mercy and the love of God. And so really, when we celebrate the feast of divine mercy, it's this celebration of the unfathomable, the limitless, inconceivable mercy and love of God. So let me say three things about God's mercy and then what implication that might have for us. So first, We are in Easter season, and we are very sensitive not only to the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, but we are also sensitive to the fact of what led him to his death. The entire Easter season, we think about the passion, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And what led Jesus to his death? It actually comes down to God's mercy. The biggest complaint that the religious authorities of Jesus' time had against Jesus was that he ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners. They could not understand that somebody who claimed to be God would mingle with sinners. This is their biggest problem. They complained that he showed mercy to the crippled and blind and healed them even on a Sabbath. They could not fathom that. Whether it was the Samaritan woman, the woman caught in adultery, whether it was Zacchaeus or the thief hanging by his side on the cross, to all these people, Jesus was the face of God's mercy. If the mercy of God could be personified or given a human form, that was Jesus. The people who opposed him were those who could not understand the God of mercy that Jesus revealed. They could not get past that. So they put him to death. But here's the deal. They killed Jesus, but they could not kill the mercy of God. They could destroy Jesus, but they could not destroy the mercy of God. And that's why I say, put all the sins of the entire human race together, you still can't beat God's love. You can try to kill Jesus, but you can't kill God's mercy. And this is what Sister Faustina heard in the vision that she had from Jesus. So here is what Jesus said to Sister Faustina in his visions, and this is what she wrote down in a diary. He said, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the feast of mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially the poor sinners." So really speaking, the Feast of Divine Mercy is a continuation of the gospel ministry that Jesus began. It's almost seamless, the gospel and the Feast of Divine Mercy, because the gospel and this feast is about the inconceivable mercy of God. Secondly, why the second Sunday after Easter? Why is this feast reserved for this day? So the choice of second Sunday of Easter as Divine Mercy Sunday is based on the gospel reading that we just read. After his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the apostles for the first time, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." Now Catholics find in this scripture reading the biblical foundation for the sacrament of reconciliation. And on Mercy Sunday, there is a special emphasis on the sacrament of reconciliation, because that is the experience of God's mercy. Now, the way I look at it, in this passage, Jesus revolutionized this ministry of reconciliation and mercy. You see, the power to forgive sins belongs to who? It belongs only to God. But Jesus on that day did something revolutionary. What belongs to God, he gave it to his apostles, to human beings. The authority to forgive sins, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. God takes the authority that belongs to God alone and shares it with other human beings. And I think this is what I believe is the key to the sacrament of reconciliation. In the sacrament, you actually touch God's mercy. I'll tell you a story. When I was in India, this was about, I'm going to say at least about 20 years back, I was at a retreat for young people, and there were Catholics, there were non-Catholics, there were even non-Christians in that retreat. And I had just spoken about the sacrament of reconciliation. And then a girl came to me at the end. This is almost at 10:30 at night, after the retreat. And she came and said, "Father, I'm not a Catholic, but can I also make confession?" And see, generally, the sacraments are reserved for Catholics. And so there are some times I just keep those rules aside, and here is somebody seeking to connect with God. So I said to her, "Sure, come." And so she made her sacrament, and boy, it took an hour and a half for her to get it all out. And she did. So at the end of it all, I placed my hands on her, I gave her the absolution, and then I looked into her eyes and I said to her, "Go in peace, your sins are forgiven." And you could see her eyes just become big. And then she said to me, "Father, for the first time, somebody actually told me that." In other words, all this while, she was seeking God's forgiveness, and she believed she was forgiven. But for the first time in a sacrament, somebody told her. And this is what sacraments are all about. Sacraments are that we touch God in a very real way. The Eucharist. We touch God in the Eucharist. And so the second Sunday of Easter is the Feast of Divine Mercy, because Jesus wants us to not just know that God is merciful, but to touch God's mercy. I hope the sacrament of reconciliation is part of our spirituality, of our continuing conversion and our relationship with God, and of course receiving God's mercy. And finally, see, there is a caution I must point to as we celebrate this feast, and it is a caution that Sister Faustina herself suggested. The danger is that the Feast of Divine Mercy, or the devotion to this feast, remains a devotion. That we all receive God's mercy, but that we fail to actually practice it. And Sister Faustina says this in her diary. Jesus said to her, "Yes, the first Sunday after Easter is the Feast of Mercy, but there must also be deeds of mercy, which are to rise out of love for me. You must not shrink from this or try to absolve yourself from it. You are to show mercy to our neighbors always and everywhere." See, we can be a church that receives God's mercy, but then we don't show it to others. This is why Jesus said to the apostles, "Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Just as the Father sent me to be the face of mercy, I'm sending you. Now you have to be the face of mercy. When people see us, they must see mercy walking around. This has implications, isn't it? For the church, for the nation, for all of us. Can we show mercy to those who have sinned against us? Who's the person you're most angry with? Who's the person who has hurt you the most in life? What about showing mercy to the children of undocumented immigrants? This is a huge political issue these days, isn't it? The church is crying out again and again, "Please show mercy to these kids who have come to this country, and this is the only country they know." What do you think about mercy towards refugees and immigrants who are fleeing poverty and violence? What about mercy towards those who feel alienated from the church? And because they feel alienated from the church, they feel that God does not want them. They're not good enough for God. What about mercy towards those on death row? Folks, the danger always is that we think that God's mercy is unlimited, but when we show mercy, we put limits on it. The danger is that we receive God's mercy, but then do not share it with those in need. So the Feast of Divine Mercy is meant for the church to become a merciful church like Jesus. That's the purpose of the feast. This is the throne of mercy. This is where we experience life and love and compassion and healing. And if we are coming here to receive that, then Christ is telling us, please, celebrate this mercy by sharing it with others. May our experience of God's mercy make us merciful disciples of Jesus Christ. People of God said. So I have some news for you as well. Some of you may already know this, and some of you may not know this. But all of Holy Week, Father Dave spent his time in the hospital. So even before his time in the hospital, he had been having some discomfort in his stomach. And so finally he went in, when he couldn't bear the pain, he went in, and they finally realized that there was a problem in his bile duct. His bile was just not getting into his stomach. In any case, he was there for a few days, and then they have now discovered that there is cancer in his bile duct. And they also discovered that there was a spotting in his liver. They've done an MRI, and it seems that he should be clear, but they still would like to do a biopsy. It's problematic enough for them to do a biopsy. And as they continue discovering, they realize that there might also be some testing required for his pancreas. So we don't know what all this means. We know at this moment that Father Dave will have to go through chemotherapy. What that'll look like, I don't know anything yet. What he's hoping is that someday we can have an anointing for him, anointing of the sick. Where it happens, whether it is at Ascension or St. Helen or here, I do not know. But we'll have an anointing, and a lot of people have been asking him how can they help, and the best way to help is through prayer. So whenever we have this anointing, we'll let the people know. And if you want to be part of it, you can be there to pray with him and pray for him. People have also been asking, what can we do? Right now, the best thing is, because I think he's overwhelmed with information and emails and phone calls. And his spirits are very high. He's not the guy who just wants to lay down. His spirits are very high, full of faith. I think he'll continue his ministry to the extent that he can. Meanwhile, pray for him. Just hold him up to God, and let's pray for healing. And then the rest, as more information comes, we'll let you know. Okay, just one more thing. Those of you who've been baptized, and those of you who were received into the church and confirmed, would you please stand? Folks, it was a marvelous, marvelous vigil, and they talked about it this morning. The last Sunday that you were there, that you hadn't seen them this way, but here are the new Catholics, new baptized, newly confirmed. So welcome to the church. Please rise and let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,